The Jerry Doyle Show.
Remember that whole campaign where you can't say something is gay, like that's so gay? Wanda Sykes, a lot of other people. In the Emmys last night, and Neil Patrick Harris, who's the host, who's gay, said he wouldn't do the tap dance that Jimmy Fallon was doing because it was too gay. So what is it? Is it okay to say it? Is it not okay to say it? If it's gay? This was the most depressing Emmy Awards ceremony I've ever watched. It was just like, it was like a funeral. It was like eulogy after eulogy interspersed with just psychotic moments and speeches. I'm not sure exactly what our guest Anita Finley thinks about it. She's a author. Her book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list. She's a EpicTimes.com contributor. She's a blogger, and she's an actress. You probably know her from 24, The Young and the Restless, Y&R, for those insiders. She played Dr. Nora Thompson, and she's joining us on the program. Anita, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Jerry. How are you? I hope that laugh wasn't live on the air. I was holding myself back with a will of iron, but you just sound so distressed over there. I just had to let it out. I couldn't hold it back anymore.
You just did the 200th episode of some show, didn't you? Which show was it?
I just did the 200th episode of Grey's Anatomy and an AT&T commercial, so they're keeping me busy.
Nice. Uh-huh. What'd you think? I was screeding before I was supposed to bring you on about my hatred of the new iPhone that I have. I want to smash it with a hammer. So I only got about a minute left, but I want to talk to you about the Emmys. I want to talk to you about Janet Yellen, her confirmation potentially as the new Fed chair. I want to talk about one of your fan faves, Hillary Clinton, being pragmatic and realistic about 2016. But just in a thumbnail, what was your take on the Emmys last night? And we'll pick up more of it on the other side.
Sure. You know, the thing that I got from the Emmys is that the Academy and Hollywood feel guilty about celebrating themselves. So what they do is they walk this tightrope while they're dressed out in all their decadent finery and having a great time. They're torn between providing this Gulliver's Travels escape for people so they can have a great time in the midst of a very sour economy and dour times, or they have to show their social conscience and at the same time show, well, we're really not having that good a time. See, we can be depressed too.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Will Ferrell's movies, but I thought last night he was probably one of the best moments of the evening. It's standing there with his kids. It was like, wow, that was actually funny. But it was just a bizarro land. Anyway, I got to take a break. Anita Finley is going to spend some time with us when we get back. You can do so too. The phone number is 800-449-8255. Stick with us, and we got a lot to cover. Right back.
The Jerry Doyle Show. The Jerry Doyle Show.
What I learned at the Emmys last night is it's finally okay to say that's gay again. Remember? Who could follow this? And all these memorials and these tributes. They got the Glee kid, Jack Klugman. Nothing. There were superstars that they put in a little montage. Let's string them all together and do the polite golf applause. But, you know, anyway, Anita Finley is back on the program with us. Author, actress. You know, I'm just going to lie down on my desk here, and I'm going to let you be my therapist, Anita.
I'm ready. What do you need? What can I do for you?
Wow. Decades.
I've already made your day. I didn't even solve your problem yet, and just the sound of my voice. You know.
I know.
Okay.
I know. Just so people understand, we talk. We converse. We said, this isn't just like, well, it's time to get Anita Finley, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, on the program. The book, by the way, spent 16 weeks in the number one position on Amazon's Women in Politics list, and congratulations on that. But it's like,
thank you, and go buy it. It's great.
It is a great book. You're a Hillary fan. We're going to talk a little bit about Hillary being pragmatic and realistic about it.
You know what's important about that? Even though I'm a Hillary fan, you know some of the biggest fans of this book? I kid you not, conservative men. You know
really?
Why? Kid you not, I get emails from them all the time because they love the fact that this is not, it ain't a chick flick. And the other thing they love is that this book is fair. It really talks fairly about both sides. There's a chapter in this book that even defends Sarah Palin, even though I don't agree with her politically, because I believe that when you have this misogyny directed at somebody, we have to have a zero tolerance policy.
Right.
And the book also talks about not only, you know, Hillary Clinton's campaign is just used as a case in point. The book discusses a lot of other things because we're talking about the fact that we are so manipulated by the media. They're the ones who choose our presidents. And until we get more involved as a people and until we understand how to look past the brainwashing that we are dealt every day, then we are still going to be manipulated. Look what happened with, you know, Yellen for Fed chair. You
right.
and I have been talking about in one of our many wonderful conversations about how we want her and not Larry Summers. So here, I'm going to make you feel better and get you off the therapist couch immediately.
All right.
I'm going to tell you that all the yelling you and I have been doing about Yellen has actually worked because Larry Summers withdrew his name from nomination. Did you think you'd live to see the day?
I have goosebumps.
After Obama was touting him so much.
I know. The guy's a rube. He's a financial failure. Ruinous with regard to policies that just let Wall Street run wild. But there was that whole good old boy network that they wanted to keep intact. And, you know, along comes Janet Yellen, the vice chair of the Fed, to be potentially the next Fed chair, and they were just dismissing her. Was it just because she was a woman or because she wasn't going to play ball with the boys the way the boys wanted ball to be played,
both.
Or both?
Both. I think, Jerry, you're right about that. I think that it was both, and actually the Washington Post even reported, and, you know, good for Larry Summers that he finally had the grace to withdraw. But the fact is that he was reputed to be the one who started the whisper campaign, about her saying she doesn't have the gravitas. And there was also an article in some, you know, paper, I'm not sure, the New York Sun, something like this, that was picked up by the Wall Street Journal talking about the gender dollar and the gender-based economy. Those are disgusting things to say. And what does that even mean? But now that he has withdrawn his name, and that's a huge, you know, slap in the face for the Obama administration, because clearly that was President Obama's favorite, and he was facing blowback from his own Senate Democrats and his own Democrats on the banking committee. And once Summers saw that, he saw he had no choice but to withdraw because he would only be causing problems for the president and embarrassing him further. So good that he did that. But, you know, this the kind of sexism, it was beyond sexism. It was also that perhaps she would not play ball with the good old boy network in the same way. And now there were two interesting articles today and yesterday. One, there was a note in the Financial Times talking about she's probably going to be the warmest, kindest, nicest Fed chair
right.
we've ever had. But I don't think that has anything to do with her being a woman. You know, she has long been reputed to be somebody who is very much concerned with the unemployment numbers and is a little more concerned with Main Street than with just the well-being of Wall Street. And
yeah, it's almost like with every beige book that they put out, she's going to include a dozen cookies. You know,
it's kind of like,
yeah, that's how they were selling it. It's like, oh, she's going to be just, you know, just kind of like a maybe, you know, a nice old grandmother that, you know, just happens to be wicked smart. But don't you think that
exactly
there's going to be
so.
Resentment of her if she gets confirmed as Fed chair that, the people who don't want her there, who now have her there, are going to make her life a little bit more tedious than if she was the qualified male.
Well, you know, unfortunately, we still have, you know, this gender-based idea of, oh, look at the qualifications she has, and then they add woman to it. Why don't you just look at the resume and just, you know, say it's Jack Yellen, you wouldn't have any of these concerns. Her qualifications are stellar, and that's really what we need to focus on. And also the emerging markets seem to favor her, you know, they just for the same reasons, that they think that she is not as beholden to Wall Street. And the other article that was in Bloomberg the other day was talking about the fact that whoever the next Fed chair is going to have to pay a bit more attention to the global economy. And, you know, there's different schools of thought about that, and I'm no economist, certainly, but the idea that the Fed cannot only be concerned, you know, with an insular thing, only worried about the U.S. and nobody else, because we are so interdependent with economies around the world now.
Yeah, we are becoming more and more intertwined and more of a global economy. And I know that there's a certain amount of collusion among the central banks of the various countries to get things done. And I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is when it's being done for the benefit of the few. And at the expense of the many. And if you look at the income statistics, if you look at wealth distribution in this country, there is a smaller and smaller percentage of people in this country that are getting richer and richer, and a growing number of people that are getting poorer, and an even larger number that are barely hanging on. And I think that's what the Fed chair, if that's warm and fuzzy, has to address.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. The New York Times addressed your point also that divide is getting wider. And, you know, in the last Clinton administration, gap was smaller than ever. So since you mentioned Hillary, if she does run in 2016, let's hope, you know, that's going to be the number one thing on her agenda, is to push us back to that level so that you see people growing and that the economy grows again. Because what's going on now is, you know, that's not pushing us in the right direction.
Is she still close enough to the people to really understand what people are going through? I mean, look at her credentials. I mean, she's a first lady. She was a state senator. She was a secretary of state. She lives in Chappaqua. They have a ton of money. You know, part of the Clinton, you know, World Economic Forum and the Clinton Global Initiative. It's almost as if the stuff that they're doing is so up here that John and Jane Q. Public down here might have some questions about whether or not she can connect with the average person.
I think that's a very important question to ask, Jerry, and if I may, I'll make my case for why I think that she is still in touch. Two reasons. One, when she was Secretary of State, one of her favorite things to do was to go out and have what she called counter views. She would bypass the normal press and she would go to speak to the people so that everyday, you know, Joes and Janes that you're talking about could ask questions and learn more about who we are in America and what our principles are. And back in 2008, if you remember, this was one of the reasons I supported her and not Obama, by the way. When I would make campaign phone calls around the country, I spoke with hundreds of people who were Democrats, Republicans, anywhere up the spectrum, and they all said one thing to me, those of them who went to hear her speak, that whichever economy was in that particular state, she knew about it. She understood that state's economy, and she spoke to them very specifically, and this was surprising for what a conservative assumes a Democrat would not be able to do, because I think the conservative view is toward states' rights and not having a cookie cutter or one size fits all. And that's something that impressed me about her, was that I remember in North Carolina particularly, she would say, address your questions to me, and she would answer specifically things that had to do with the needs of that particular state. So somebody who is as wonkish as her, I think that if she runs again, she is going to bring the same preparedness, but what the difference is going to be this time is that she's going to operate a lot more smoothly, you know, just as she reformed the State Department, doing a line-by-line budget overview with these people in a very detailed fashion. So I don't really worry about that. If she decides she's going to run, she's going to roll up her sleeves like the wonk that she is and get in there with people.
How do we overcome, because there are just people that have a deep-seated hatred of her, whether it's because of her or because it's of her marriage to Bill Clinton. It's almost as if she becomes the president, half the country's going to be ticked off. If any Republican becomes president, half the country's going to be ticked off. What do we can't keep doing what we're doing. It's just not working.
Agreed. Where, yeah.
How does she change that paradigm? How does she overcome that?
I think that it's going to have to be a partnership, and that would be true no matter who was elected, whether it's her or Chris Christie or anybody. I think the problem is twofold. One, you have politicians. On the other side, you have media, both using this kind of polarization as to their advantage in order to A, sell copy, B, fundraise. Something that Hillary Clinton is often quoted as saying and is very fond of saying is that we, as the American people, usually return to the sensible center. And it's interesting, there was a big article on her in New York Magazine where she was talking about the stuff that you talk about all the time, that, you know, that the 80% in the middle, that we're kind of getting lost because the 10% on one side or the other are making entirely too much noise. She actually said that. So I think that the only way I can tell you we're going to surmount this is by bypassing the media and actually reaching out and listening to what each politician says. I don't mean just her, because if you don't want to vote for her, then you don't vote for her. But whoever is running, I think we as American people have to stop with "I hate her because." I remember speaking to a group of students who had read the book, and this one girl was so sweet, and she said, "You know, my mother always used to call Hillary a B, and I called her a B too." And I said, "Well, you read my book. What did you think?" She says, "I don't think she's a B anymore." And I said, "Okay, because you learned something about her beyond what you've been told by friend XYZ. So if you learned something and you still don't want to vote for her, fine with me. But the fact is, that's going to be true of her, of a man, of anybody who runs. If we don't get past the hyperbole that we are fed and poisoned with on a daily basis, we are going to continue to be a polarized nation. Forget party labels. Forget all that crap. And just slow down and listen to the solution the person is proposing. Do they sound like they know what they're talking about? Are you willing to give them a chance to move us forward? That's the only way we're going to get there. We're going to have to partner with whoever it is we're listening to and not let newspapers and advertisers and media dictate to us who to vote for.
Yep. Anita Finley is with us, author, actress, blogger, epictimes.com, contributor, author of Dirty Words on Clean Skin, amazon.com, all major book retailers. You're a former Democrat. I'm a former Republican. I look at the polarization, and I think the caustic nature of talk radio on both sides of the aisle. I think the caustic nature of cable TV on both sides of the aisle makes us look like we're a much more divided country than we are. Someone who's unemployed doesn't care if they get a job from a Democrat or a Republican, and someone who's a Democrat or a Republican doesn't care anything other than getting the right person for the job. And I know that it's not a utopian. There are certainly exceptions to everything. But, you know, again, there seems to be a lot of money in keeping people separated and keeping them in their gated ideological communities. And this is something that again, that really needs to be addressed. And you do a lot of research. You're wicked smart. And you come to your conclusions based upon what it is that the data tells you. Unfortunately, too many people are told, open to page 37, and this is the song we're going to sing again today. Didn't we sing it yesterday? Yeah, we sang it yesterday, but damn it, we're going to sing it again today, and we're going to sing it louder. And that seems to be what it is that we're dealing with. And people have to tune out certain places of supposed news, because it's not doing us any good.
Yeah, but look what you and I, and I'm not saying we take all the credit, I'm saying this, you know, half jokingly, but look what we were able to accomplish. Look what happened with Larry Summers. This,
right,
to me, looked like a shoe-in, but there was an outcry from a bunch of different groups, from you and I talking on the radio, from me writing articles anywhere that would put them about Larry Summers as the wrong person for the job. Senate Democrats heard the message, Congress heard the message, and the man withdrew. So I'm telling you, because we need some good news here, and we need it fast. And I'm just saying that any port in a storm, anything you and I can hold on to and say, hey, if you just take 2 minutes out of your life and make a noise and send an email and make a phone call, you know what? People on the ground can make a difference. And if the media realizes that they're going to lose the almighty dollar, then maybe they would report a little more responsibly, because you do have radio. We do have the entrepreneurial, every person for themselves economy now. You know, I've got a blog, you have a website, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's more of us out there who are putting this message, and social media is turning into the great equalizer, where on Twitter and Facebook, people can get this message out there, and it is rendering the kind of hate mongering you're talking about, I hope and pray, to render it increasingly irrelevant. So if we keep doing what we're doing, maybe we will make a bigger dent to accomplish exactly what you're asking for.
Great stuff. Always love talking to you.
The Jerry Doyle Show.
Me too.
We'll do it again. Check out Anita's book, Dirty Words on Clean Skin, 16 weeks, number one position, Amazon.com Women in Politics list, and a lot of her great contributions as an Epoch Times .com contributor. Thanks, Anita. We'll do it again soon. Always love talking to you.
Me too, Jerry. Thank you so much, and have a great night.
You too. Stick with me. Right back.
The Jerry Doyle.